We Catholics can have favorite saints, often like people have like a favorite baseball player. If you're like me, you collected baseball cards and sports cards growing up. You had your favorites. And we Catholics can be like that. We have our favorite saints or our favorite superheroes, those whom we gravitate towards. And for me, most of my favorite saints actually fall within the month of October. It's pretty convenient. We start October with October 1st, the Feast of St. Thérèse, the Little Flower of Lisieux, one of the co-patrons of the missions that I talked about last week. Then right away, almost on October 4th, we have St. Francis of Assisi, one of the beloved saints of the church, beloved throughout the world, especially in his home country of Italy. Then later in the month, I talked about them last week as well, we have the North American martyrs, St. Isaac Jogues and John de Brebeuf and their companions, missionaries to our own country. Tomorrow, we have the feast of this guy to my right, St. Jude, our patron. We transferred it to yesterday with the installation of our relic in the altar, and we continue to celebrate him today and tomorrow. And all of these feast days in October, some of my favorites, lead to November 1st, All Saints Day. So this Friday, All Saints Day, we're able to celebrate this great feast, a holy day of obligation. And we call upon all the saints, the names whom we know, and those who are in heaven whom we don't know. Because the saints give us a great insight into humility and holiness. And so all of these individual ones throughout October lead us to this great solemnity, this holy day of obligation on Friday, the Solemnity of All Saints. And another one of my favorites came this past week, St. John Paul II. He's a giant in the church, and many of us know him from our childhood or our young adulthood or our adulthood as the Pope from Poland, the Pope who was the most recognizable face in the whole earth. Throughout all of the history of mankind, more people saw Pope St. John Paul II. They saw his face in person or in a picture more than any other person who's ever walked this planet. He stands above so many others in the influence that he was able to have, both in our church and throughout the world. We know some rightly credit him, among others, to the fall of communism in Russia and throughout Eastern Europe. And it was on one of those trips, St. John Paul II had just been elected Holy Father in 1978, and his home country, his homeland of Poland, was under oppression. Their faith was persecuted under communist regime, an atheistic regime. And this saddened the Holy Father. And so he made it a point for his second apostolic visit just the following year in 1979 to make a historic visit to Poland, to his own native land. And you have to imagine the communists were nervous to have this successor of Peter, this vicar of Christ, the representative of the Holy Catholic Church, to come into this atheistic state, a man who knew well the complicated politics and the oppression of the people. But they took a risk, and I'm glad they did. Because St. John Paul II landed in his native land of Poland. He kissed the ground. And then a few days later, he had a rally in Krakow. He had this prayer service in a communist state in a large open area. And the communists weren't sure how many would come. They tried to downplay it. They weren't sure if maybe tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands might show up to see St. John Paul II, but over 1 million showed up. And St. John Paul II encouraged the faith of his brothers and sisters of Poland, and it broke out in a chant, "We want God. We want God." It echoed throughout Krakow. We want God. And it's said that the fall of communism started on that day. with the cry of these people. They knew their need. They knew their lowliness, the oppression of the poor, and they weren't afraid to cry out. I can't help but think of this scene when we read from our first reading today from the book of Sirach, that the prayers of the lowly pierce the clouds. The lowly, the poor, they are able to be heard by God because they know their need. They know they need God, and they know they want God. It's not always the case with those in powerful positions, with the rich, those who think they have everything together. Their prayers can't be heard because they're not praying to God. They're often praying to themselves. Now, this is what we read in the parable today from Jesus, that it's the Pharisee, this person in power, this person who thinks he has it all together. He says, the Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. And that prayer couldn't be heard by God. It wasn't able to pierce the clouds like the prayer of the tax collector, the prayer of the sinner, the prayer of the lowly man, the poor man, the oppressed woman. These prayers can be heard by God because they come from the heart. They come from a place of need. St. Augustine said to us so beautifully that we are all beggars before God. And brothers and sisters, may we never forget this. May we never forget our need for God. May we never forget our want for God. Because it's when we think we have everything figured out that we're actually not in a place to receive God. So today, through the intercession of St. John Paul II and all of the saints whom we'll celebrate on Friday, may we cry out to God. May we have that contact with the poor and the lowly, letting the Lord know our need and our want for him.